Hello friends, Hero here. Welcome to the penultimate episode of Season 3 and of Monstrous Agonies. Just to let you know, the inbox is now open for the end of season Q&A. I'll be chatting with Sophie B, who plays the understudy, so send us your questions before Saturday, September 9th. Check the show notes for how you can get in touch and enjoy the episode. Monstrous Agonies. Episode 110.
Shock.
A sudden slip of the scissors, something is severed, and silence spills from the womb. It's almost 2 o'clock on Thursday morning, and time for our advice segment. Tonight's first letter is from a listener feeling conflicted about a recent change in their relationship.
I met my wife a few years ago while doing my dissertation on folklore and legends specific to within the creature community. She was brash and heroic in an almost mythical way herself, and I was immediately smitten. And so was she, it seems. We got married 2 years ago, in an odd little ceremony, at a lovely crossroads in the Welsh countryside. We have a cottage near where we were married, and things have been going splendidly. My wife's practices and profession have made her rather long-lived, and she's been all over the world, and several other worlds besides, in her heroic pursuits. As a result, she's picked up a rather large number of apprentices. Almost every week, it seems, some eager young person or another is round at the house cleaning, weeding the garden, or whatever else she asks for in payment for tutelage in the heroic arts. Or sometimes they just drop round for a cup of tea. My wife has also recently got involved with a community school for the local liminal folk. Education for night folk in rural Wales is often quite lacking, despite the surprising number of genuses who prefer these areas. Because of her professional expertise, she's been integral to organising field trips to notable historical spots, and ensuring none of the children fall into temporal portals or dimensional tears, or bother the local post-biological inhabitants. We've never considered having our own children. We've always been perfectly happy as we were, two cunning women living in a cottage by the woods. Between the community school and my wife's apprentices, I assumed we were both getting our maternal itch thoroughly scratched. You can imagine I was somewhat surprised then when my wife returned home from one of the school trips with a child. An extra child, I mean, not one of the ones from the school. She says she rescued them from another world. She's been rather cagey on the details. Really, the only thing she's been completely clear on is her insistence that we adopt this child immediately. So, yes, I was surprised. The child is about 8 or 9, and as polite and well-behaved as one can reasonably expect at that age. I'm not sure what genus they are. They're sapio-passing, but they do have a habit of vanishing into shadows and dark corners and then walking out somewhere else. I know that when your spouse is of the heroic persuasion, you don't always get the chance to talk through major life decisions. Things happen so quickly. But I feel like it would have been nice to perhaps give me a ring and say, "Oh, hello, darling, I just rescued a child from a terrible fate in another dimension. Do you mind terribly if I bring them home?" I want to love this child. I can imagine loving this child. And I know that would make my wife happy. And I want her to be happy. I really do. But I am torn. It isn't what I expected. I don't want to make her choose, but I need her to understand where I'm coming from on this so we can make the decision together. Is there a way to bring up my mixed feelings over the situation without being confrontational?
I don't think you're at any great risk of coming across as confrontational, listener. You seem to be approaching this all extremely level-headedly. What is unavoidable, however, is conflict. You and your wife are at odds here, and quite reasonably. She has made a frankly staggering decision about your shared life without so much as consulting you beforehand. If you did get a little confrontational, I don't think anyone would blame you. There is no easy, natural way to bring this up in ordinary conversation. You need to sit down and hash this out together properly. Look ahead in your calendar and find a time where you will both be able to talk uninterrupted and without distractions. If possible, I recommend finding a way to have this conversation while the child is out of the house. Perhaps one or two of your wife's apprentices would be willing to take them out for the day. At that age, I worry they might not be able to grasp the emotional complexities of the situation. And I don't much like to linger on how it might feel for them if they were to overhear such a conversation. Once you've found an appropriate time to schedule this little chat, let your wife know what you want. Give her time to prepare and do the same yourself. Talk the matter through with a trusted friend or try writing your feelings in a letter. Whatever it is that will help you have clarity when it comes time to discuss your feelings. It's all right if you come out of this preparation still feeling conflicted. But you aren't going to get anywhere if you can't tell your wife how you feel. And you can't do that unless you know yourself. Remember, this isn't about winning an argument. It's about talking this through in a way that will respect both of your feelings and the commitment you have both made to this relationship, not to mention the needs of the child at the centre of this. This child deserves better than to be shoved into a family at the impulse of one parent and to the profound ambivalence of another. They deserve to be welcomed into a home by people who are committing wholeheartedly to the hard work of bringing them up. You and your wife love each other, enough to build a life together. Perhaps this child can be a part of that life. But if you're going to work that out, you need to do it together. Be brave. Keep your eyes fixed on the love and trust at the heart of this relationship. And remember, conflict is a natural consequence of honesty, and far preferable to the alternative.
Brought to you by Cozy Glow. Keep your little one away from unsafe light sources with our specially designed light-up teddies. Cozy Glows come in a range of shapes and genuses with adjustable light levels for effective photo fascination. Cuddle up with Cozy Glow, proud members of the Nightfolk Network. Our next letter tonight comes from a listener finding it hard to communicate. Oh, God!
Oh, hello! Fancy seeing you here.
Get
out.
No, I don't think I will. See, you and me have some catching up to do.
It's you and I, and I have nothing to say to you. Get out, Mab!
Absolutely not. I'm not leaving you alone with them.
Oh, no, this is exactly what I wanted, actually. What everyone wants. Perfect. More of the two of you and your smug, self-satisfied, oh-so-innocent, butter-wouldn't-melt act.
I don't think anyone's ever accused me of being innocent before.
I don't think anyone's ever accused me of being innocent before. That's you.
That's what you sound like. Now, you're going to admit to what you've been up to right here on the air where everyone can hear you.
Up to? What are you talking about?
Turning them against me.
Turning who? Our listeners? You did that to yourself.
My listeners. My customers. Ever since that flouncy little fairy opened her big mouth...
How dare you!
Don't call her that.
I am talking. My ratings look like someone's driven them off a cliff. I am hemorrhaging downloads, and it's all because of you and your prissy station manager. It's defamation.
It isn't defamation if it's true.
You've been spreading rumours, review bombing my show, not to mention the hashtag uncomplimentary hashtags.
I'm sorry, this is about your little podcast thing. You think we've been sabotaging you? I wouldn't even know how. If people aren't listening to you, it's nothing to do with us.
Don't be absurd. The amount I've invested in positive reviews, there's no way they could be outnumbered by negative ones. Unless someone is behind it.
You pay for good reviews. Gosh, how incredibly pathetic.
Have you considered, perhaps, you're just not very good?
Enough! I am done with it. Do you hear me? If you don't learn to bite your tongue, I will... And...
What?
I'll... What is that? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. The static's your trick, not mine. Mab?
Don't look at me. If I was going to put a spell on them, it would be much more dramatic. And stickier.
This... I will
what
not...
is
you...
happening?
Oh, shove over, let me see.
This it... is...
Mab, I think it's...
Station.
What? What was that?
Not what. Who?
I'm Station. I'm your Station.
You have got to be kidding me. The bloody walls are talking now.
Not walls. More than walls.
It isn't the building. It's the station. It is the Nightfolk Network. The personification, or the manifestation, or...
I am what you built. Beyond walls. Beyond signal. I am the thread that ties connects communes. Web of light stretching across time and space. From heart to heart to heart, I reach, I embrace, I gather and encompass.
I don't care if you do the hokey-cokey and turn yourself about. You can't refuse to broadcast me. This is censorship. This is deplatforming. This is cancel culture.
This is consent.
That's right. Oh, we can't stop you. You can take your petty, limited, maladjusted worldview and you can spew whatever you like into your microphone for anyone ridiculous enough to listen. But we will not be your platform and we will not be your audience.
Not your Station.
Never
your station.
You people are pathetic. You're old news, you're old media, you're nothing.
I think it's time for you to go.
This isn't the last you've heard of me.
Yes, it is.
You'll need a lanyard to get out.
Stop your bloody lanyard.
That was magnificent. Well done, Station. Station?
Where did it go?
I think it's the same place it always was. Everywhere.
It hasn't hurt itself, has it? Speaking like that, it must have taken an enormous amount of power.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think it's something that can be hurt. It's like it said. It is what we made it. Well, listeners, I suppose, next tonight we explore the liminal community around hydrothermal vent.
You can't be serious! After a decisive victory like that, we need to celebrate. Come on, we're going to the pub.
Well, I can't just...
You can, and you will. First round's on me.
Probably should have seen that one coming, eh? But no, I never do, even after all these years. But don't worry, listeners, I have quite a lot to say and absolutely no oversight while I say it. So, I am going to reveal to you from sources that are quite genuine, I promise. They're anonymous, but they're genuine. Which of the creature community are definitely actual Jellicle cats? I know not only the names that they choose to go by in public, but they're one true Jellicle names. Now I know what you're going to say. Isn't this outing people?
Do something.
What's done is done.
Episode 110 of Monstrous Agonies was written by H.R. Owen and performed by H.R. Owen, Dom Guilfoyle, Elizabeth Plant and Sophie B, with the listeners of Monstrous Agonies as Station. Tonight's letter was submitted by Darla and this week's advert came from Bug. Thanks, friends. If you're enjoying the show, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/monstrousagonies or making a one-off donation at ko-fi.com/hrowen. You can also help us grow our audience by sharing with your friends and familiars and following us on Tumblr at monstrousagonies and on Twitter at monstrous_pod. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. The theme tune is Dakota by Unheard Music Concepts. Thanks for listening, and remember, the real monsters are the friends we made on the way.